Welcome to Your Next Mission podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Hello out there, veterans and warriors, past and present, and your families, and thank you for serving this great country. Welcome to Season 3 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army, always love saying that, your host. If you watched us in the past, you may have noticed that we are coming from a brand new studio and a new season, and we're looking forward to talking with some more incredible guests. This is all possible because of our generous support of our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and as I always say, we love them too. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be focusing on Vets for Warriors, a call center that provides sustained and confidential peer support for our veteran community. And I'm so excited to introduce a good friend of mine, Major General Retired Mark Graham, Director of Vets for Warriors. Welcome, sir. So good to have you on the show.
Hey, Sergeant Major. It's good to see you, too, as always. And thanks for your next mission and the work you all are doing here.
Well, God bless you, sir. Sir, before we jump into all that's going on with the Vets for Warriors, would you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, Sergeant Major. So I was in the Army 34 and a half years. I'm an artilleryman by trade. And I have three kids, my wife and I, Carol, and travel all around the world and many different assignments. But I'm at Vets for Warriors now. Our family's story took me in this direction when I retired from the Army. I retired from the Army in the summer of 2012 at Fort Bragg. That's the Forcecom G357. Our son, Kevin, our three kids were living in an apartment at the University of Kentucky. And our son, Kevin, was the middle son. He was studying to be an Army doctor. Both were on Army ROTC scholarships. And Kevin was struggling with depression. And we knew Kevin was struggling with depression some. We didn't really know how serious it was. And we didn't know that much about it. In May of 2003, we traveled back. I was stationed in Korea, and Carol and I traveled back in May of 2003 to see our son, Jeffrey, graduate from the University of Kentucky with a degree in engineering. And then I also commissioned Jeff into the Army as a second lieutenant of armor. So he was a young armor officer getting ready to start the basic course. And that was in May of 2003, 30 days prior to our son, Kevin, taking his own life by suicide. So in June of 2003, Kevin took his life. Kevin was on medications. He came off his medications. He was getting ready to go to Warrior Forge, the Army's leadership training camp before you go to your senior year of ROTC. And we think Kevin came off his medication because he didn't want the Army to know he was on depression meds. We think Kevin was ashamed and of being on the medication. It was like he had a character flaw. We certainly didn't send that signal to him, we didn't think. But I think he also thought he'd be a quitter, because I even said, Kevin, you know, if you want to drop out of school, stop ROTC, whatever's stressing you out, take some time, you know, you can do that. And he goes, no, Dad, I'd be a quitter. And so I think, you know, that drive in him caused it. He was trying to do everything he could naturally. When I saw him in May, it's the best I've ever seen him look physically. I grabbed him, hugged him, and he was solid. I said, Kevin, you know, you're in great shape. What are you doing? He goes, oh, Dad, I'm running every day, I'm working out. And what we found out later after Kevin had taken his life is that he was trying everything he could naturally to stay healthy and to keep his serotonin levels up. The Army, after Kevin died, the Army said, hey, to our son Jeffrey was at Fort Knox. Hey, you don't have to deploy. Jeff was scheduled to go to Fort Riley and join his Big Red One Brigade in Iraq right after graduation. The Army said, hey, look, your family's been through a tragedy. You don't have to deploy. You can stay here at Fort Knox right now. And Jeff said, you know, thanks. So Jeffrey and I went on a walk one night, Sergeant Major. And, you know, I went running with my boys, but I didn't really go for walks with them. And after Kevin died, Jeff and I went for a walk. And he stopped and looked at me in a way I've never seen my son look at me. And he said, Dad, you know I've got to go. And I said, Jeff, the Army said you could stay. You don't have to go. I don't want you to go. I need you. Mom needs you. Melanie needs you. This is just hard, and we really need you to stay. And he said, Dad, my men are waiting on me. They need their platoon leader, and they're waiting for me. And I said, son, you don't have any men yet. You haven't even gotten to your unit yet. And he said, he looked at me again and said, Dad, you know I've got to go. So the father in me didn't want him to go. But the soldier in me understood why he felt like he had to go. So Jerry deployed to Iraq that November. And in February, on February 19, 2004, he was leading his platoon on foot patrol in Chaldea, Iraq, right outside of Fallujah. As they came up on a bridge, Jeffrey and his radio operator, Jeff stopped his platoon short of the bridge. He saw something that didn't look right on the bridge, and the enemy detonated it by cell phone. And Jeff was killed by an IED, as well as Roger Ling, his radio operator. We lost both boys in less than 8 months. So the world as we knew it came to an end when Kevin died. But when Jeffrey died, our world came to an end that we thought we'd never, I didn't think I'd ever come back from. And I told my boss, who was the CG at Fort Sill, General Dave Valcourt, I said, sir, I'm done. I'm out of gas. I'm done. And he said, don't make that decision yet. And this is as we were walking to our house, to my quarters, to tell Carol about Jeffrey. The night before he deployed, he called, and he was calling us every night when he got to Fort Riley. And the night before he called and said, hey, Mom, someone's knocking my door. Let me call you and Dad back. And Carol said, sure, call us back. So 2.5 hours, 3 hours later, he hadn't called back. So we were pretty sad by not hearing him his last night before he left. And we went to bed. And he called late at night, and he was crying. And Jeffrey didn't cry. I mean, he wasn't a crier. And not that that's wrong, I'm a crier, but he wasn't. And he said, a soldier came to my door and asked me if I was the lieutenant whose brother killed himself. And I told him, yeah. And he said, can I come in and talk to you? So he said, he came in the apartment and we talked. We don't know all the parts of the conversation. We don't know all what he said, but we do know when he called us back, he asked Carol to promise her that she and I would keep speaking out for those that are struggling. She goes, Mom, there's a lot of Kevins out there. And she said, of course, I promise. And he said, let me talk to Dad. So he asked me the same promise. He said, Dad, I just want you to promise you and Mom will keep speaking and doing what you're doing to help others to prevent suicide. And I said, of course we will. And so one of the main reasons I'm at Vets for Warriors. Carol and I were out speaking, but about a year after I retired from the Army, I took this position at Vets for Warriors, and I've been here almost 9 years. Vets for Warriors is celebrating its 10th year. Been in operation over 10 years, and it just feels like the right place to be, to where I can continue to help and help others, and veterans, active duty, family members can all call 24 hours a day, and we answer the phones live within 30 seconds. And those who answer on the phones are veterans themselves.
Sir, as you talk through all of that with your son and your family, I'm sure you went through some depression too. Did you go get any kind of counseling, you and your family counselor or anything like that?
Carolyn, everybody grieves differently, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Carolyn and Melanie did go out and seek help, but I was a stubborn Army guy, it took a long time. And Melanie and Carol both, Carol would say, Mark, you really, because I wasn't sleeping, and I was the chief of staff at Fort Sill at the time. And Carol said, you really need to sleep. You need to get some help. And Melanie was at that time, she dropped out of school 3 times. She was struggling, and she was finally she wanted to go back to nursing school. She wanted to be a nurse. And so she was working toward that. And so I did, Sergeant Major. I finally went and got help. I saw somebody to get up with some sleep, and I got some help, and it made the world a difference. But I got to tell you, that first step is really hard.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this or not. I always tell this story about I was overran, 20 wounded and 7 killed when I was in Vietnam, and I've suffered from probably the form of depression all my life. But I think the key to success for me is I stayed on active duty. I probably talked too dark on much most of the time, but I was real open about my feelings, and I talked about things that bothered me, and And really, I really leaned on my wife, I'm sure, a lot. But I also leaned on a lot on the veterans around me and let them sort of tell their story and deal with it. Because, again, you know this probably just as well as I do, but there's a lot of people like me and you that that have scars that people can't see, but they're still there. And I think the key to success is you got to keep talking. You got to keep working on it. If not, you know, I'm not sure what'll happen. The other thing I think is really important too is that you can't sit in one spot. You know what I mean? Because I think if you sit in one spot, then you just sit there and, to be honest, I just think you sit there and die. So you got to keep moving around. You got to keep talking. And again, and you know this, everybody in the Army is a soldier, whether or not you're a general or a private. We're all soldiers, and we all have issues. And in a good way, we love or like whatever you want to say, but we want to help each other out just as much as we can. So, wow, I would just, before we get started, going farther, I just say, if I can ever help you in a way, please give me a holler. I'd certainly do whatever I can to help you in any way I can. God bless you for your service, and thank you for, it's important for people like you to keep the word out there, because there's so many people, so many young service members that struggle. You know, when you look at the average age of people that are killed in war, it's 18 to 24. And those are all young kids that are just trying to live their life. So, sir, can you tell us a little bit about Fort Warriors, the mission of you know, Vets for Warriors? What's the mission?
Sure. No, I'm glad to. And you're right. There's a lot of invisible wounds out there. So Vets for Warriors, you can contact Vets for Warriors. You can see the phone number on the screen, 855-838-8255. You can also reach our website and do a live chat and find out more about Vets for Warriors. So again, we're 24/7. We never close. We've been operating over 94,000 consecutive hours, answering the phones live within 30 seconds. We've had over 700,000 contacts to date. So we're helping a lot of veterans. We typically average around 8,000 veterans a year, and usually around 6,500 to 7,000 of those veterans we help a year are different veterans than we helped the year before.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a rotating number of folks. But the key is we help them one at a time. We're like a concierge service. Everybody that calls, you call us, and then, you know, we call you back if you like. And we stay connected to you as long as you want to be connected. It's reciprocal peer support. And so we continue to work with you. We help connect you to resources, and we call back and check how that go, how you doing. Because most people are struggling with more than one thing. You know, one thing might be the prevalent thing, but most people are struggling with more. We hire, and all the peers that work at Vets for Warriors and all the staff, they're all paid. So it's a win-win. We hire veterans to help other veterans. We hire veterans, we train them, and then they work shifts, and again, 24/7. So another thing I think that's real key is we're Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, male, female, in every era from Vietnam forward. So it doesn't matter when you served, it's just you served. And if you served, you're a family member or someone who served, call us. Don't wait. We're confidential. So your data's going nowhere. We get no funding from the VA. We get no funding from DOD. So, you know, we don't owe them reports. We don't give them any reports. And we don't provide your information to anyone. We provide aggregate information only. That's it. So we're all in all the states, territories. People can call us from overseas. We've had people call us from two Navy ships. So you can reach out no matter what you're going through. Our goal is upstream. So our goal of Vets for Warriors is to reach every. Our goal of Vets for Warriors is that anyone who's ever served or currently serving their families will know they are never alone. That they can reach out 24 hours a day and talk to a veteran.
Yeah.
Confidentially. And I think that's really important to know that, you know, you're never alone, and you can reach out and talk to somebody all the time. And sometimes it's just one phone call. You just need to talk to somebody. Other times we stay connected with someone for 3, 4, 5 months, helping them work through whatever they're going through. The key is upstream. Before you get to the point of crisis, don't wait, call, reach out and talk to somebody. Had a guy call one day, and he wanted to talk to whoever was in charge, so they transferred him to me, and he spoke with me, and he said, you know, I want to talk to somebody who I didn't know and I was never going to meet. And I said, you know, hey, you know, that's why we're here. Whatever works, however we can help. Because our goal is for everyone out there to thrive and do great things and keep serving. And you'll notice our tagline is discover the power of connection. So like you said, Sergeant Major, it's all about being connected, staying connected, you know. Yeah. Keep moving.
Do you get general officers that call, or colonels and lieutenant colonels, or privates? Or, I mean, I would imagine you got a mixture. And do you get a lot of family members that call you also?
We get a lot of veterans of all different ranks. We don't ask them their rank. Sometimes they tell us. And if the peer asks them, they don't have to tell us. So the information we do collect is only what people tell us. So, I mean, it's confidential. It can be anonymous because, you know, somebody can call and give us their correct name. That's not as important to us as how can we help you? What's up? What's going on? How can we assist you? We don't get as many family members as we'd like to. We like to get more family members. They're certainly welcome to call. Oftentimes when we do get family members to call, they're calling about their loved one, either their service member or the veteran that they're concerned about. And the peers many times will say, well, how are you doing? And ask the family member how they're doing, because as we all know, it affects families as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that part. Discover the power of connection. That's perfect. You already answered that question. Let me ask another question. So when they connect with somebody, let's say wherever you're located at, let's say there's somebody in California that has a problem. Do you refer them to a counselor if they need to see somebody one-on-one or in-person counselor or something like that?
You do. So when you call Vets for Warriors, we connect the same peer that you connect with initially is one who stays with you the whole time. And if you need to be connected to a clinician, mental health services, whether it's financial assistance, housing, marital support, whatever you need, we connect you to an organization that's in your community. So our first goal is to connect you with a community-based resource. If there's not really a resource in your community that works or fits what you need, then we reach out a little broader state, regional, or even national level resources. But we won't stop. We stay with you the whole time. We won't stop until we got you connected to a resource that fits. Then we call back and check and see how's it going. And because we want to make sure the resources we connect you to are actually helping you. Because we track up and down, thumbs up, thumbs down on resources we connect people to make sure we're connecting them to resources that are making a difference.
Yeah. Do you hire any of the people that call in? Every once in a while, is there somebody that calls in, got an issue, you talk to them and then eventually hire them to work with you guys?
Yeah, we've got several on the team now that had previously reached out and called and then eventually came back and applied and were hired.
Oh, my goodness. I guess the last question before I change here a little bit, what kind of feedback do you get from the people that contact? I mean, do they critique you on how you did or get any feedback from them?
Yeah, we're not great at that. We're working on bringing on a new texting app. We had a texting app before, but it wasn't very good. So we're bringing on a new texting app, and part of that'll be is we'll send out a text to individuals and say, you know, how'd we do? How are we doing? How can we get better? Because we're a learning organization. We're always trying to get better. We do have a way people can tell us, and we do get feedback from people. People, you know, give us feedback. Mostly, you know, the vast majority of it's good. Every once in a while, we'll get some feedback that's not as good. Like, you know, this guy wasn't very nice to me. And so that tends to go, you know, it's usually both ways. But most feedback is good. And we're working out to get that to be more formalized. I want a more formalized way to get feedback so we can tell. We're also working on a mobile app so that individuals can get to us from their mobile phone a lot easier. 85% of our individuals we speak to are contacting us on a mobile device. So we want to make sure we got a mobile app out there they can download and have it even more access to us. Plus we'll have other information on there for them to use.
Yeah, no, that mobile app is a good idea because that's the way young service members communicate. You know, if you don't have something mobile to do that, you gotta change with technology and you gotta get the modern.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking with Major General Retired Mark Graham, Director of Vets for Warriors, and you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack F. Tilden, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Serve to continue on our discussion. I understand that hire veterans, help veterans, and I think it's so important that you talk about, you already talked about the number of people that you hired. Could you go into a little more detail about, you said you've helped about 700,000 people and you've hired a lot of veterans that come and work with your, or a few veterans that work with your organization. Why is that important to hire the people that you've assisted already?
About 75% of our peers are combat veterans as well. So they've deployed, they understand it. And And as I often tell us, often tell folks, you know, even if you're not at war, the military is a dangerous place to be. I mean, it's a great place to be. We all loved it. Of course, we stayed. My plan certainly wasn't to stay, you know, in the Army after 4 years after my commitment, but I just fell in love with soldiers and I just kept staying. So we bring them on from all walks of life and all different branches and backgrounds. And it's important to know that, you know, the military is a dangerous business. So we had some people that have called and said, you know, do you only talk to combat veterans? No. If you've ever worn the uniform of our nation's military, you can call. And if you served a day or 35 years, you can call. And we have individuals who've gone the whole spectrum. And
I think it was really neat when you're talking, you said you had Vietnam veterans that call you also. And when I know I was an old Vietnam veteran, but when I came back from Vietnam, there was nothing in place to help any of those guys that had come back. And that's why at that period of time in our history, a lot of them were homeless. They didn't have any problem. They had a lot of issues. I remember one guy I was talking to one day, he says, I asked him what he was going to do. He says, I'm going to go out in the woods and build me a home and just stay there. I want to be away from everybody, which is really a crying shame. And I don't know. I guess they probably feel the same way. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we've got 3 Vietnam era veterans on our team.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We had 4, but as he started getting older, he just, you know, said he couldn't, you know, couldn't continue to do the work. But we have 3 on our team. They don't work full time. They work per diem. They work, you know, number of shifts a week. We got one that works several shifts a week. And they really connected the Vietnam era veterans. And we're having more Vietnam era veterans now. They're starting to speak up. And many of them will tell the peer, you know, I wish I'd have called and talked to somebody years ago, because this really is helpful for me just to talk and to another veteran. And but I will tell you one story. You know, I'm a story guy too. And we had a Vietnam era veteran call 2 o'clock in the morning one night several years ago, and he spoke to a young female veteran who'd been to Iraq, and they talked for 21 minutes. And at the end of the call, she said, "You know, I'd like to call you, give you a call back, and check and see how you're doing." He goes, "You know, I really appreciate this. I don't need a call back." He goes, "As you can see, it's in the middle of the night, and I was just having a hard night, and somebody had given me a card of this organization, Vets for Warriors, and said, if you ever need to talk to somebody at any time, just call." And he goes, "You know what? I called at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you answered the phone fast, live." And he said, "This is what I needed." He goes, "You got me through the night. I appreciate it." And he goes, "And I'll call back if I ever need to." So I don't know if he's ever called back again. I never have checked. But it was great. You know, a Vietnam era veteran and a young, you know, post 9/11 veteran who'd been to Iraq, that didn't impact anything. That was just, they connected right away as veterans and talked. And he thanked her and said he so appreciates what she's doing. So I think that's a great example of generations. It didn't matter. What matters is they all wore the uniform of our nation's military.
I got to tell you, so I don't know. I'm not sure what it was, but I thought to myself, geez, I'd like to talk to somebody, you know, somebody that's that feels the same way I do about stuff. So I actually made an appointment at the, I won't tell you what it was, but it was a clinic. I made an appointment at a clinic, and I went there. They said be there at 9 o'clock. Of course, I was there at 8:30, and 9 o'clock they said, "Well, she can't talk to you now. She'll have to talk to you at 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, they came out and said, "Well, she got a little backed up today. Can you come back at 1 o'clock? And so, yeah, okay. So I come back at 1 o'clock. And about 2 o'clock, they invited me in to sit down and talk to her. And by that time, I was so irritated about everything that was going on. Anyway, but I just want to go through the process and see how it worked. And I said, "Hey, I was a Vietnam veteran. Here's some things that, you know, I just told a little bit about myself." And she actually said, "Well, I'm not necessarily sure I can help you." Or she said a bunch of stuff anyway. And after she talked for about 5 minutes, she says, "Well, do you have anything you want to say?" And I said, "Yeah, thanks a lot for seeing me. I'll see you later." And I sort of got up and walked out. And it's, and that's why it's so good for you to have other veterans. Not to say she was a bad person. I'm sure she's a very good person, but the fact that you had another veteran talking to a veteran, there's something special about that, because I understand you. I mean, I've walked in your boots, you've walked in my boots, and we have a lot in common, and so we can, you know, you can understand if I say whatever, but that's a big deal. There's not many organizations like yours around there that'll pick up the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning or have a veteran on the other side. Sir, what challenges do you have when dealing with mental health issues that today's veterans and families face? I mean, is there any additional challenges they have?
Yeah, they have, I mean, just a lot of financial stress.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of financial stress. And that's, you know, there's never one thing, but somebody will call and say, you know, I'm really got some financial issues and need some help. So we'll help work to connect them to some organizations who are wonderful about helping with financial resources. But then the peers will just keep talking to them. And lo and behold, there's usually more going on than that.
Yeah.
It might be financial and, you know, they might be having some marital challenges, you know, there might be some depression going on, you know, and the peer can, you know, peer can, and the peers are just great at bringing up, you know, hey, have you ever gone to see a clinician? And we'll oftentimes we'll get, nah, you know, I saw a clinician, but they weren't, you know, they weren't a veteran. And so they, you know, they didn't get it. And so what we do is try to help and say, well, a couple things. If you've gone to see someone clinically and it didn't work out, don't stop. Go find another one.
Yep.
And we'll help you. Call us. We'll help you do that.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be a fit for you and the clinician. And sometimes, and I don't want to be flip, but sometimes I'm speaking and somebody will ask me a question about, you know, seeing a veteran, you know, clinician. I'll say, you know, do you care if your orthopedic surgeon's a veteran?
I mean, so. Yeah, you're right.
Right. I mean, it's great if you can find a clinician that's a veteran, but there's not a ton of them out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a lot of great individuals that are clinical that really want to help and would love to help veterans. Many of them have taken cultural awareness training, and many of them are trying the best they can to learn more about the military. But give them a chance, and you got to open up to them. You can't, you know, you can't just kind of talk around it. You got to let them know what's going on so they can really help you. And we've had good positive responses from that. And we've helped connect many veterans to the VA that didn't want to go. We said, you know, you might want to give them a chance or, you know, give it a try. And some of them have gone back and had a good experience the next time where they didn't the first time. Some don't want to go to the VA. We said, look, that's your choice. We'll connect you to a civilian clinician or organization. And that works. So it's kind of a concierge service. So each individual separate and, you know, we're all individuals. But I do tell everybody I speak to, you know, you're irreplaceable. Please call. Please get help. Talk to us or someone, but get help. A lot of organizations out there that are helping, but please don't take your life. Please don't sit home in silence and struggle.
Yeah.
Let's get you some help no matter what you're going through so you can thrive.
Yeah. I need to get a piece of paper, write down stuff. When you was talking, I was thinking about a whole bunch of stuff. One is that the VA does a pretty good job. I go to the VA, use it all the time. So for those people that are listening, the VA is a great resource for you. Go there, work with them, and they'll help you out. Two is that, I can't remember what two is. Two is that a lot of times senior officers and senior NCOs are really apprehensive to go get help more than anything else because, they want to, you know, look up straight, stand up straight. You know, I don't have no problems. I don't have scars. We all have scars. We all have issues. But I think, especially since I've been out for a while and you've been out for a while now, but when you look back, they're really more apprehensive about talking to anybody. You know, they want to make sure their soldiers see them in a tough military uniform, ready to do whatever they have to do in war. But the answer is everybody struggles. Everybody needs assistance. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, what you've been doing, everybody has scars and we're all in it together, you know, yeah. So we need to help each other out. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. Before we get back to our discussion with Major General Graham, I want you all to know that you can contact me directly. You can reach out to me directly and tell us about your transition. Tell us about, you know, what issues that you have. You were talking about mental illness and suicides and stuff, but we're all part of a family. Reach out and let us know if we can help you. Tell us what topics you like as a cover. I mean, you know, we talk about a series of stuff, but we're here to assist you in any way we can. So tell us what you want. You can call me or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Sir, we're heading into our final segment. Unfortunately, make sure I said that correct. Unfortunately, we're heading into our final segment with you today, and I've enjoyed talking to you. I hope you've enjoyed talking to me also. I just have a couple more questions. We've devoted our entire season 2 of the podcast to mental health and had so many guests who talked about issues that dramatically affects our veterans and families. What common message do you think needs to be communicated about mental health?
It's real. It's an illness. Mental health is an illness. And we need to know that. We need to realize that it's invisible. I've had people tell me, you know, I wish I had something physically wrong with me so people could see it. And that way they, you know, they would, one, believe me, or two, understand me better. But since it's invisible and they can't see it, it's even harder. But mental illness is real. Our son Kevin died by suicide. Kevin struggled with depression. We knew our son Kevin was sad. We didn't know you could die from being too sad. We didn't get it. We didn't understand. And one night on the phone call, he even said to Carol and I, did you know mental health is really an illness? Because he was so bright. He was studying. He wanted to be a doctor. He was studying hard. And he was doing all the research he could about it. And so I think it's important to don't be ashamed of it. Just know that it's real. And there's help. And there's hope. There's so much help out there for those that are struggling. Many times when people say the word mental illness, they go right to the far end of the spectrum. Well, you know, from anxiety all the way to all kinds of mental illness, schizophrenia, there's a mental illness spectrum. Most folks are not on the far end of it. They're on the other end. And so they have anxiety. They have some depressions. There's help for that. There's help for all of it. Some more severe than other, but there's help. So please don't struggle in silence. Please don't, you know, be out there struggling. Please get help. Call us. We'll connect you to some organizations, some individuals that can really help you and make a difference in your life and get you back on track the way you want to be. I think the other thing important too is transitions. If you're transitioning, as Sergeant Major Tilley said, if you're transitioning, reach out and talk. Vets for Warriors peers all transition from the military. And I can tell you, I agree 100% with Sergeant Major. I don't care if you're a private or a general officer, and anywhere in between, in the NCO ranks or officer ranks, transitioning is not easy. It's tough. You know, you've been part of an organization for a long time, and it's just it becomes part of you very quickly. We all know you go through basic training, you change. There's something in it. I mean, you know, you're changed. It's different. And it's to me, a good way. But when you transition, that's hard. I think everybody thinks, you know, it's going to be, I'm just going to transition, go out there and, you know, knock it out. No, well, maybe if you did, congratulations. That's great.
That's for sure.
For most, it's not that fast and easy. It takes some work and some time, and it becomes like a second job to find a job and to find the right job, the right culture and the organization you go to and join and work with. So reach out and get help. Yeah. No matter what it's about, but mental health is real.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because when I first got out, I had, just like yourself, I had a lot of people reaching out to me and say, hey, you come work with me. So I finally found a job that I said, I'll go work with these guys. And I worked with them about 4 months. And then I said, geez, I don't fit in. Something's wrong here. I just don't like what I'm doing. And so I said, well, I'll just open up my own company. So I opened up a company, geez, almost 20 years ago now. And I have all, and really sort of funny, all the people that work in my company are all retired sergeant majors. All but one, I got a first sergeant. And I have an accountant, and she's a Korean lady, which is a wonderful lady. I think I'll make her a sergeant first class or something. I don't know. But, but, uh, the thing about it, I'm sure they realize it, but it's all therapy for us. And they and we get on the phone about every 2 weeks, and we'll cut up a little bit. We'll do our business and stuff, but we'll also talk about things and issues that that they have, you know. And if they have a problem, I always tell them, you can call me anytime and whatever. And they know I'll take care of them, and hopefully they take care of me. But the really funny thing about this is every once in a while, they'll call me and check on me. They'll say, hey, Sergeant Major, how you doing? Everything okay? How's your family? So when you talk about mental issues, you talk about the fact that, again, we're all connected like this. We're all bonded, you know. We're all going to stay together and do all we can to help each other for, you know, for the rest of our lives. That's for sure. Can you talk, you talked about resources, but I'd love to talk about that just one more day. Can you provide additional, you know, the call center, you got all that stuff. Can you talk about any other additional resources that you're helping families with struggling with mental health? Anything else is out there that you'd like to tell the audience about?
There's a lot of resources. I mean, and I think more now, first off, we need more. So if you're out there and you're not sure what you want to do professionally, you know, and you want to become a clinician, that'd be great, because we need more clinicians for sure. But we connect to different networks, different organizations that'll connect you to a clinician where you are. Whether you want to do a telehealth, you can do that, or see you in person. We'll connect you no matter what, where you are, whatever you're going through. We can find someone that's going to connect. And we've had some that have come back and said, that didn't work. Okay, well, let's find another one for you. But let's find a fit to where you feel good and you can open up and talk to somebody. So don't just stop with the first one. If it didn't work out, call us back and let us know. Typically, we have very good responses when we connect someone to a resource. But no matter what the issue is, there's someone out there, a resource, an organization out there that'll help you. We're very collaborative at Vets Warriors. We work at a lot of other organizations that are veteran nonprofits as well. I mean, we're not the end all be all. You know, we try to connect you to organizations because we want to make sure you've got a connection going. So once you do get better, you're back on your feet, your things are going better, then we'll say, hey, you know, are you connected to any veteran organizations at all? You know, where you do things and stay connected to other veterans. Because I think that's important. I mean, for all of us, no matter what you do. So there's so many organizations across the country, and we're connected. We're connected to some other organizations who are hubs in communities who know all their organizations within that community better than we do. So we'll connect you to that hub, and then they can get you connected. But we stay with you. We don't just leave you. We don't just give you a number and say, see you later. You know, we'll call you back and ask, how'd that go? Did that work out? And when people say, well, it was okay, we'll say, well, okay is not enough. You know, we want to make it better than okay. We want it to be great.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to get great care and help.
Hey, sir, do you do anything with the Association of the United States Army as far as educating them about what you guys do for Vets for Warriors? Do you connect with any? I guess the reason I'm saying that, because it seems to me the program that you have would be a great program to talk to them about, and even the Navy and the Marine Corps and all the rest of them, but let them socialize that within their community. Because really the key, it really stuck with me a lot when you, like you said, you called it, somebody called at 2 o'clock in the morning, you picked the phone up. That's a big deal. And you may, I just a thought, I don't know if you did anything or even thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I've spoken a couple of times at AUSA years ago, but anybody you want to reach out to, Sergeant Major, and let them know about us, I'll be glad to talk to them. Because our goal truly is, we don't want anyone ever to be out there alone and not know that you're not alone. You can call and talk to a veteran right now. Just pick up the phone and call.
Yeah. How can someone reach out to you and support this, you know, the wonderful program they're doing? I know you gave it to us. But would you give it to us again, the phone number, the website, and all that stuff?
Sure. It's phone number is 855-838-8255. And you can reach us at VETS, warriors.com. So you can support us there. You can click on there to donate if you want to. You can click on there. We also have a program called an ambassador program. If you want to sign up to be an ambassador, a volunteer, Vets for Warriors, those are individuals across the country who said, hey, I want to help. How can I help? And we can, you know, and the goal of our ambassador program is individuals who want to help us get the word out.
Yeah. Do you market this somehow? How do you get the word out about, other than the website and social media? Do you put a lot of advertisement out?
No, we do. We did, but we realized social media is really the best way to do that. We pivoted, certainly during COVID, we pivoted, but we send out materials to organizations and to our ambassadors who go to events and get the word out. So you can go on our website and order materials if you'd like that we'll ship to you and you can use to spread the word to let others know about Vets for Warriors too. So that's another way you can help is just ask for materials.
Yeah.
And you can get it through the website.
Yeah. Hey, sir, this has been, thank you so much for what you're doing. I mean, it's a big deal. You're helping a lot of people. You're doing some wonderful stuff. And again, my condolences to, you know, the fact that you lost both your sons, that, you know, life is life. And I'm glad that you and your wife have picked yourself up and you're still moving in the right direction. But from, certainly from this old soldier and a whole lot of old soldiers around here, if I can ever help you, please let me know.
Thanks, Sergeant. You know, I did fail to say that, you know, our daughter, Melody, did become a nurse.
Yeah.
She is now a nurse practitioner. And she's got, you know, she and her husband, who's also a veteran, great son-in-law, great father and husband. I have three kids, so we have three great-grandchildren. So they bring us pure joy. And she did, you know, she got help, of course, and she stuck with it and became a nurse. Now she's a nurse practitioner helping a lot of people. So she's giving back, continues to give back. And she remembers her brothers and always will, of course. But I appreciate your next mission, Sergeant Major, and all you're doing and your team. And I thank you for the opportunity to be on here and helping Vets for Warriors spread the word so others know they're not alone.
God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad to hear your daughter's doing so good. I think you told me once before I just said a minute ago that she went and got a little bit of counseling with your wife and stuff like that. So, sir, any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience, anything that you maybe missed and you want to make sure people know about your organization or yourself personally?
Yeah, just thank you again for doing what you're doing with your next mission, Sergeant Major, and everything else. And thanks for all those in your audience who served our nation and the family members with them. If you're serving now, thank you for serving. If you served before, thanks for serving. You're all veterans. And to the great families, and please don't try to work through this on your own. Get help. Let's talk. Connect to us. Let's talk, and let's get you back on track. Please reach out before you get to the point of crisis. Reach out. VetsForWarriors.com.
There you go. Well, you can help me out too. I want more people to listen to our show and stuff. So get as many people to hear about this discussion, other things that we put on the on our podcast, because. We need to help each other out. We always want more.
We subscribe to your site, Sarmage, so we're subscribed.
I was looking for that.
Absolutely. Already done. We're there.
Well, sir, thank you very much, sir. So thanks again to Major General retired Mike Graham. I mean, this is it's always fun to talk about issues that that are tough, that you got to work through. But it's always good to talk to a friend that that really is doing so much for our country and for our veteran community. I'm Jack Hiptoli, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for watching today. Please visit our websites and yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review, but if it's a bad one, I guess I can take that too. You can also visit our partners there who will provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. Just like the general said, it's not easy getting out of the service and you need assistance. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I always want to say that twice. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. We know that people have scars and some you can see and some you can't, but we want to help you. All you got to do is join our team or be with us or listen to us or tell us what you'd want us to talk about. Please follow me on all my personal social media channels. Never thought I'd ever say this. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. That's the only way we can get you guys to listen to us anymore. And if you enjoyed our discussion, if you didn't enjoy it, something's wrong with you. With Major General Graham, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatelli@yournextmission.org. Again, thanks again to Major General Retired Mark Graham for being with us today. What a great soldier, a great warrior, and just a great person. It was just unbelievable having you on the show. I always want to leave the show with some final thoughts, and I think today I'm just going to say that You know, the general really said it, and I tried to say it. All of us have scars. All of us have problems. All of us have issues. And I've told the audience before, the people that listen, that I've suffered from post-traumatic stress for probably maybe 30-plus years. And if you know me very much, you know if I start talking about stuff, I'll tear up a little bit. And it's hard to get through. And so... just like the general said, just because you're not missing a limb or doing anything, we have scars, but also know there's people out there that want to help you. People that love you, that care about you. You know, we all went to war together. Some of us didn't come back, but the ones that are here, the ones that didn't make it and are still around, remember, we love you. We want to help you. And so just reach out to us, talk to us, and let us know how we can help you. Again, thanks for watching, and thanks to Cloudcast Media, Newmind Studios, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary AG, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate, I probably should say that 15 times, we appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.